In on three, 1, 2, 3.
Hey, Bills Mafia, we know there's one thing on your mind every day. Your team, the Buffalo Bills. So Matt Bobe and Sal Capaccio are here to bring you the latest news, notes, and opinions straight from the source right here, right now. Because it's always game day in Buffalo.
Look at this crowd. Unbelievable. We are back here once again, ladies and gentlemen, at Bar Bill East on Empire Boulevard in Rochester.
Look at the little one back there.
I love it.
Getting some serious airtime back there.
I need to know if she likes drums or flats before the end of the night. That's what I need to know, because we are here at Bar Bill East. We love being here. It's always game day in Buffalo. It is a great, great night here. It's actually dry after 3 out of 4 days of the wettest weather you could ever have for training camp.
Dude,
and we are here tonight, and we had a great crowd here. We thanked everybody from Bar Bill. How cool is it to be back here again?
Yeah, this is cool. Thank you guys all so much for coming. If you were here in person, if you're watching online, you know, we appreciate the support either way. I always say this. It's the only show of the year I think I get nervous for, because there's actually live people sitting here and listening to
us. It's a guy who talks on TV for a living,
normally,
live every night.
We'll peel back the curtain, everybody. Normally, I'm just in my basement by myself when we do this. So to have everybody here is a little intimidating, but we very much appreciate it. We love the fact that we get to do this. We love the fact that it falls right in the middle of training camp this year, which is really cool. We wish we were in Rochester a little bit longer, but we're glad we were able to fit this in. So thank you all for coming in person. We appreciate it.
And listen, while you're here, they got a great menu of wings, of course, and not just wings, of course, whatever you want here at Bar Bill, they're going to take care of you. But check out the wings: mild, medium, medium hot, hot, extra hot, suicidal, honey butter barbecue, hot and spicy barbecue.
I mean, the play is Cajun honey butter. I don't even need to look at the menu. The play is Cajun honey butter barbecue. We asked what she was in the back. I'm an all drums person. Some people say that's immature or whatever, but I'm all drums. But you know what else I've really started to like here?
What?
Lemon pepper.
Oh,
the lemon pepper.
You guys
wings
had the
here.
Lemon pepper wings? Yeah, yes. Lemon pepper. Over here, we got a table over here with the lemon pepper.
They're really, really good. These guys in front of us had cheese curds. I didn't even know you could get cheese curds outside of Wisconsin. Apparently, you can get them at Bar Bill, which is very cool. It's always also really cool to do these live shows at a place that you just like genuinely love.
Yes.
I genuinely love Bar Bill. So it's cool that it gets to mesh together.
We also have Fiddlehead IPA here tonight with us. So give them a round of applause.
Fiddlehead IPA.
All right. And then what happens now? They have a raffle going on,
right?
Yeah.
If you're here in person, you buy a Fiddlehead IPA tonight, you'll get a ticket. You'll get a chance to enter to win that sick cooler over there. Also, if you're here, we've got giveaways. There's a little wheel. There's some WGR merch, some Fiddlehead merch. There's some other cool stuff. So definitely go check that out. That's free over there. And now it's time to talk about the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah,
with already almost 1,000 people watching.
It's amazing. We already have we're close to 1,000 people watching already. And by the way, if you can hear our voice, you're watching live on at Sal Sports on X or YouTube, and you're like, I want to go down there and see these guys. We'll be here for a while. And even when we're done talking, we'll hang out a little bit. Matt and I are going to, you know, eat some wings, have a good time here tonight. But come on down. Watch the show. I got to tell you, I wore this on purpose tonight. This is my softball jersey from the Greg Rousseau charity softball event.
Okay.
And the reason why is Rochester was so good to us to have a softball game out here this year. It was amazing. And we did the softball game, and they raised a lot of money for Greg Rousseau. And all that. So give him a great round of applause.
Yeah.
And on the field as the MC, it was amazing. It was a great day. I want to start there, actually, about Rochester, how great they've been to the Buffalo Bills and the community of Rochester and St. John Fisher. I mean, the softball game is just one thing, but so many great ways that they support the Buffalo Bills.
Was it Pat who just came up? Pat just came up and said, hey, listen, to the support for the Bills in Rochester is incredible. And, you know, he mentioned the podcast. It's all one big thing, right?
Yep.
Western New York, I think it even goes as far as Syracuse, but there are so many Bills fans here. I've got a bunch of family from Rochester, right? Like, this was the thing that they used to. My mom and dad used to tell me, when the blackout rule was in effect back in the 90s and stuff, when the games would be blacked out, they would drive to my aunt and uncle's house in Rochester because the games would not be blacked out here. So we know there's a ton of support. Listen, spoiler alert, tease alert, whatever it is. We actually just finished talking to the Bills COO, Pete Guelli, earlier today. That interview is going to go live tomorrow. We talked a lot about Rochester, the future of training camp in Rochester. So there's some interesting nuggets. But, yeah, the support is incredible. I just feel bad that all these people are getting rained on every single day at training camp. It's ridiculous.
There are people who have been going to Rochester, St. John Fisher, for training camp for 25 years who said, No doubt. There's been more rain the last 3 days than maybe the whole time they've been here, it seems like. That's how much rain it's been out there. And every time there's rain, you think about, okay, is everything going to go okay? Can everybody stay healthy? Well, not because of the rain, but we have had some injury scares.
Yep.
Let's start there. Let's talk about the Bills and what's going on here with some of these injury concerns. CJ Gardner-Johnson went down on Saturday. Yep. It did not look good. He was grabbing his ankle, his foot, his Achilles area. He got up. He bounced around a little bit. He went into the medical tent that he walked to the cart. They drove him in. Later that evening, reports were that it was a strained lower calf. Today, even though Joe Brady didn't tell us exactly what it is, he pretty much confirmed that by saying that it was good news and obviously not the worst case scenario.
So I want to also start with this, everybody. The Joe Brady injury reports are going to be really, really like lackluster.
Yeah.
This is just going to be what we need to expect moving forward. He's not going to say anything. We kind of got that today. We witnessed that firsthand. Here's the thing. We got to kind of dissect exactly what he said. He wouldn't put a timeline on the CJ Gardner-Johnson return, but he talked about him returning to practice when he is ready to go. That to me says, okay, we're talking about something that's going to, I don't want to say well before the season, but I do not think right now that his start of the season is in jeopardy based on the language that he used. When he is ready to go, he'll return to practice. This is also somebody who's a veteran, right? Like we've been talking about safety injuries at training camp, it feels like every year, specifically with Cole Bishop. That was somebody who needed to get acclimated. CJ Gardner-Johnson knows what he's doing. He knows how to play the position. I think for them, it's just as safe as possible moving forward. And then when he's fully ready, that's when you bring him back.
So what happens without CJ Gardner-Johnson? Today we saw Damar Hamlin taking most of the reps next to Cole Bishop. Geno Stone, a free agent signee, he's also in the mix. Hey, I know you hear the name Jalen Kilgore a lot. I love him, the rookie. I like him a lot from South Carolina. He's not CJ Gardner-Johnson. He's a different. He's more of a Cole Bishop type of safety.
Yeah.
They like to play him more in the box against the run. CJ Gardner-Johnson is more of a center fielder, a Ranging. Ball hawk. Yeah, and even though Damar Hamlin, Geno Stone aren't those guys, they're not going to make that kind of plays and playmakers. Mm-hmm. They're the kind of guys you put back there to keep everything in front of you, to settle everything down. So that's why you see those guys. But I will say, you also saw the depth test. When you lose a guy at the top, today we saw guys from the bottom have to elevate, and Sam Franklin Jr. was on the field. Mm-hmm. He got beaten for a couple of plays by Dalton Kincaid.
Yeah.
Not his normal spot to be on the field, but that's what happens when you have an injury at the top. Everybody has to elevate one ring up.
I want to see how they handle this, if this lingers and if there is a true rotation or if it's just Damar Hamlin's job. He was the first guy to get those reps today. I would imagine tomorrow maybe they go to Geno Stone and they make that transition. And then after that, maybe it's Jordan Hancock. But Jordan Hancock's interesting too because he's been playing nickel and he's been playing safety.
Yep.
So they have some things that they need to figure out. I very much like Jalen Kilgore. He is a player that we'll probably end up talking about at some point this evening. He is the young day three draft pick safety from South Carolina. But like Sal said, not a CJ Gardner-Johnson replacement. Bigger, big frame. I kind of think of him as like the new wave Saran Neal being the floor, but also some high upside where I think, hey, if you've got a tight end that you're worried about across from you, maybe he's the guy that goes out because he's big, he's athletic, and they think he'd have a better chance of shutting him down. But I don't think Jalen Kilgore is ready for this just yet.
I agree. I would say this. If you want Jalen Kilgore on the field earlier, it might be, let's just say CJ Gardner-Johnson is going to be out a little while. Mm-hmm. It might be Jalen Kilgore plays more than Cole Bishop, and Cole Bishop goes back to play where CJ Gardner-Johnson would be.
Cool.
Because he would be more of that guy. I think they like Jalen Kilgore a lot, but why put more on his plate when he's doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing right now, playing near the box, playing more of that big nickel. So I think that's where things stand at the safety position. A minute ago, I brought up Dalton Kincaid. Who was holding their breath today when they read that Dalton Kincaid went down for a little while, right? Yeah. We saw that, and then people were tweeting he's down on a knee, and I think people see the word knee and Dalton Kincaid together.
Well, they were looking at his knee. He was on his knee, and they were grabbing his knee and looking at it and pushing it. I think they were trying to stretch it out because we later found out what's the best way of saying this.
I'm going to say what he said. He took a shot to the family jewels.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Yeah. That's what happened.
That's what he said.
That's what happened.
Honestly, that's the best way you could describe it on a family-oriented podcast anyway.
Yeah, I think, right? It sounds like he got a knee to that area. Then he was down. He was definitely in pain. But when he goes down, everybody is paying attention.
See, you're the first person. Someone did point out to me that you did tweet they were looking at the knee. I did not see that.
100%.
Okay.
They were looking at it. He was down on one knee, and the trainers were pushing on his knee and pushing and pulling it back and forth for about 45 seconds.
Probably to make sure the groin was okay.
Probably,
right?
Exactly.
Well, okay.
You know, that's what they're checking. I didn't know at the time that that's what he had happened, but he put his helmet back on 5 minutes later. He went back in there. So looks like crisis averted.
And we all know because Dalton Kincaid has had knee issues in the past, that's going to raise the eyebrows for people when something like that happens.
Of course.
He comes to the it just so happened we were scheduled to talk with Dalton Kincaid today for press conferences.
Yeah.
So Dalton Kincaid comes to the media press conference area. First question was asked about that, and he said family jewels, basically. And then he said he believes he's in great shape because partly he started training earlier. Mm-hmm. That's number one. Number two, he has a trainer he really likes out in California. And number three, I think that just being here in Buffalo, doing all the things he needed to do to get ready for the season has helped him. The point is, it feels like Dalton Kincaid feels like he's in the best possible spot as far as health and where he's been.
Yes, and that is a very important sign because I would argue that he's one of the most important players on the team. It's clearly Josh Allen. Then it's probably the offensive line. After that, I think Dalton Kincaid is pretty high on the list. Here's the Dalton Kincaid conversation, and I think Sal and I feel a little bit differently about Dalton Kincaid. I think Dalton Kincaid is a nice complementary piece who can every once in a while make a splash play. The issue with Dalton Kincaid is that when he is on the field, it is very obviously a passing play. For Dalton Kincaid to ultimately take the next step he needs to, they need to trust him blocking. And yes, you could say, well, they have a Jackson Hawes and they have a Dawson Knox. But those guys, that's like kind of specifically their role. Dawson Knox is a blend of it all. Right now, other defenses know when Dalton Kincaid is on the field, they're probably passing the ball. They need to trust him more as a blocker. And the other day, once again, they don't even have pads on yet. He went up against C.J. Gardner-Johnson. He got cooked. And C.J. Gardner-Johnson was like almost...
Who got cooked?
Dalton Kincaid.
Okay.
C.J. Gardner-Johnson almost acted disrespected that that's who they were trying to use to block him. And he might be the smallest guy on that defense besides D. Alford. Dalton Kincaid, still a good player, still has a lot of upside, but I don't think he's ever going to be a guy that we see on the field 70% of the time because he just doesn't have that skill set.
Last year, he was pretty good at blocking, but was on the perimeter. Yes. It wasn't in line. Mm-hmm. And I do think, though, the team feels, hey, we do have Jackson Hawes, who is a great blocker, obviously.
Great blocker. Phenomenal.
And you do have Dawson Knox, who's a very good blocker and can also catch the ball. So you can load manage Dalton Kincaid, but man, if he could ever add a little bit more of that, he is bigger now. He has gotten bigger. So we'll see if that actually happens with Dalton Kincaid when he gets out there. But he was out on the field today and he had two touchdowns. They were both against Sam Franklin, like I said, but one of them, a great route to the front corner of the end zone. One of them in the back corner of the end zone, Josh Allen found him. And I think when he's on the field, Josh Allen, to me, it's DJ Moore and Dalton Kincaid are your two top targets.
I think it's DJ Moore. I mean, I think DJ Moore is going to lead this team in catches. But I think Dalton Kincaid is the guy that Josh trusts maybe more than anybody. It just seems like they're on the same page. You think of these high leverage moments. When they've been in the playoffs, where has Josh gone? He has gone to Dalton Kincaid in the Denver playoff game, in the fourth quarter, down. He goes to Dalton Kincaid in the Jags playoff game, in the fourth quarter, touchdown Dalton Kincaid. In the playoffs, Dalton Kincaid has been
good. Very good.
And that's as somebody who hasn't even been 100%. So that's why. There's nothing wrong if they limit him to 45, 50% of snaps to ensure that he is ready as the season gets more and more important. I do think, though, it's like DJ Moore, Dalton Kincaid kind of in their own little tier. And then after that, it's probably Shakir. And then I don't know. There's probably honestly a big gap between that and then Keon and Skylar Bell and some of the people we've been, you know, getting questions about.
Speaking of tight ends, we also heard from Dawson Knox today, and he may have had the best quote of training camp. Dawson Knox said of Jackson Hawes, he's like an Ivy League meathead.
Yeah, that's
what he
true.
Said.
I mean, it's true when you think about it and you go to an Ivy League school, everybody's like, oh, you're probably so. I did an interview once with Jackson Hawes last year and we were talking and I was like, if you weren't playing football, what would you do? He's like, I'd probably be a brain surgeon. And I was like,
he went to Yale, by the way. Jackson Hawes went to Yale after he finished at Georgia Tech.
Yeah,
he went to Yale.
A brain surgeon? I was like, that's great. You'd probably make more money doing that than you do actually playing football. He is built different. He's a psycho, but they adore him. And, you know, some of the people in the comments right now are like, hey, Jackson Hawes can catch. He can. He's not going to catch more than 20 passes.
That, yeah.
But he is effective when they need it. Think about the Ravens game last year. First game of the year in the fourth quarter, Josh throws a ball to Jackson Hawes, a contested catch. Bobbled it, but he brought it in. He was very effective last year. He's going to have a big role on this team, especially with no Reggie Gillian. because they're going to need to utilize Jackson Hawes in ways that they didn't before without Reggie Gilliam.
It's interesting you say that because there is a fullback on the team. There's two of them, actually. Ben Van Sumeren is his name. It's a guy who this young man unfortunately got hurt in the very first play of the whole season last year in the opening game when he was playing for the Eagles. But this is a guy that's played wide receiver, linebacker, fullback, running back, very good athlete. They sign him as a free agent. And then they bring in Jackson Acker from Wisconsin also as an undrafted free agent. So the fullback position, you know, is going to factor in here. We have had a few people ask us in the chat box, and this is something I got a lot of today after the Dalton Kincaid thing. Don't these guys wear cups? Look, I don't think it's actually required. And I don't think most of the guys do, to be quite honest. When I was playing Pop Warner football, Little League football, we have to weigh in, okay? So you have to weigh in. Now, I was always small. If I was on the 100-pound team, I could weigh in with all my equipment. They wouldn't care.
So you put the cup on to weigh a little
bit
more?
No. What they would do, though, they would say, as you, because it was required, I swear to you, as you walked up to the scale, somebody would say, knock on the front door. Oh. And you'd have to show that you were wearing a cup before you stood on the scale.
Okay.
And that's how they found it, knock on the front door.
Okay.
I don't think they're making NFL players knock on the front door. I don't think it's actually required.
Okay. What's interesting here is I grew up playing hockey, not playing football, and you would be a psychopath to not wear a cup when you play hockey. So that wasn't even a question. I just kind of assumed that they all did. But I would imagine it's probably
cumbersome.
Only certain positions, and it's going to impact your flexibility and your mobility, so maybe people don't. And practice, too. This is a good transition. It's weird going from cups to something else. It is a good transition because today was the first day in pads, but only sort of. So Joe Brady decided today that he wanted the pads to go on, but only for the first half of practice. Then they took them off, and then they did some teamwork.
Yeah.
He said that was the way of easing into it, which is interesting. Dawson Knox had a good answer after. He was like, you know, that's a very player-first mindset, and it's good to see a coach be thinking about us with that because they do kind of want to ramp this up a little bit.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
Okay, let's focus on another battle that's going on right now. Left guard. We've had a couple questions about the left guard position. To me, it's the only true starting position available on the offense. Everybody else is back. And I've seen a good heavy rotation. I don't think we're going to have this thing settled until the regular season starts.
I agree with
Alec Anderson and Austin Corbett are the two guys fighting for it.
Yeah, it feels like a real competition. And I don't think I would have said that a week ago.
Right.
I thought a week ago I would have been like, hey, this is Alec Anderson's job to lose. I still think he has the inside track, but that does not mean that it's not a competition. I very well could see a spot. I mean, Austin Corbett's got a lot of experience in the NFL. If they think that's the more steady person there, maybe they're trying to get that out of the offensive line. Maybe they think, hey, Alec Anderson has a higher upside, but Corbett's a bit more steady. Maybe they go with that. We shall see. But I do think that's definitely the most heated and interesting position battle. I don't even really think there's another one that's close.
I think linebacker next to Terrell Bernard. On offense, you're right.
I don't know if it's a competition. I think it's going to be Caleb Ealarm-Zor.
Even though we saw Dorian Williams out there today starting at 11-on-11? I think it's a competition, but I think Caleb Ealarm-Zor wins it.
Yeah, I think so too. It's just they keep going back to him and they keep giving him these opportunities. The thing that he has going for him is that I think he could play either spot. I think they feel comfortable with him playing either spot.
Yep, agreed.
I think they appreciate that as that if that's in a competition, that could be a deciding factor just because, for what it's worth, Terrell Bernard has also been a bit banged up over the course of the last few years.
So we did see Terrell Bernard and Dorian Williams both take part in 11-on-11 today. Only Terrell Bernard did the last practice. Neither of them had before that. And then up till today, Dorian Williams was only in 7-on-7, but both of them in 11-on-11. We've seen Caleb Ealarm-Zor. And let's remember, it's a new defense. It's no longer your traditional Mike and Will, middle and weak side. There are two guys in the inside. We can call them Mike and Will. I think a lot of times you call it a jack linebacker these days. But these guys have a lot of the same function. And that's going to allow Jim Leonard to blitz different guys from different spots. Mm-hmm. You can put these guys in different situations. So We'll see how it all plays out at the end, but I agree with you that Caleb Uyamazor probably has the leg up on Dorian Williams. But I do think Dorian's going to get a shot here. He's earned it. He's in his fourth year, and he's a guy that has started for this team.
No, definitely. I think so, too. But I also think that there is a world where he gets onto the field in specialty things that they are trying to do, probably more than Caleb Uyamazor would, right? Doesn't it feel like he would be more of the base guy and that Dorian Williams would have a little bit more of a specific skill set? So we shall see. Also, for what it's worth, shout out. We got about 2,000 people watching live right now. So
we're close. We are 85 people away from 2,000. We got the numbers rolling right there. Yeah. Mike Robbie Air, producer, doing a great job.
So I think that you're right. That's probably another, It is another competition. I just feel like at this point, given what we have seen, now maybe this is unfair to Dorian Williams. It probably is, just because he was out for the offseason up until training camp. So we've seen Caleb Uyamazor there a lot. So I just associate, hey, he's going to win that job, even though that is a bit premature. I know the punting competition is something that some people talk about.
Well, let's talk about a couple of receivers. Let's get to our guy, Manici. He, a very loyal listener and follower. Sorry, I missed being there live. He lives out here. But can we talk about Josh Palmer? I would like to do that.
Actually, the next question from Scott was Palmer versus Keon for wide receiver three. It's a really interesting conversation. I think that they like what they have seen from Josh Palmer. I think Josh Palmer is at a good camp. Here's the thing. If it's those two, I think Keon has the higher upside, and I think they roll with Keon.
Do you think Keon Coleman is this team's punt returner to start the year? He's been doing it a lot.
Maybe, but we will need to see how much this team trusts Keon. Because the last coaching staff did not trust Keon, really, with almost anything. So if he has won over the trust of this coaching staff, then yeah, I think there's a world where that happens because he is your third wide receiver. I don't think you're super worried about your third wide receiver getting banged up because of this conversation that we're happening, right? Like having right now. If it is Josh Palmer, then so be it. I think that's a possibility. I've also seen Mecole Hardman, who I thought might win the job. I saw one of them hit the deck. Maybe there have been a couple more. You don't want to see that at this point. And that was on a day when it wasn't boring. So that's also an important distinction, because three of the four have been disgusting.
I agree with you about Coleman having the upside. Don't you think that at the end of the day, if the Bills had their choice, they'd love Keon to take that hold of that three?
Yeah,
I do. Deal with Palmer not getting that.
Yeah, I do.
If Palmer is and he holds Keon off, good for them. That's great for the team, right?
Yeah.
But I think the Bills would love Keon Coleman to take hold of that number three wide receiver job.
I think so, too. And here's the problem with Keon Coleman, and it's not a problem with him specifically. We won't know if he has won this job or if he's done a good job or how he's going to be until we're well into the regular season. Because all of last year, when we were sitting here at Barbell a year ago, we were talking about all of the promising stuff from Keon. Then they go into the regular season opener, and Keon was great. He was making all these plays for the Bills. And then it slowly started to unravel after that. So for Keon, it's about stacking these moments together. Stack a good camp into a good first month of the season. Then turn it into 2 months and kind of continue to do that. And there's going to be some ups and downs. I totally understand that. It's just been way too inconsistent at this point. Yeah, though, that said, the young guy on the rookie contract, that's probably, it's already year three.
Yep.
Like, you know, it's already year three. They're a year away from trying to figure out what they want to do with Keon Coleman, but he's making the team. And
they don't have a fifth-year option because he was a second-round pick.
The first pick of the second round.
That's right.
Exactly.
So they don't have that. All right. It is exactly 6 p.m., so we want to do a little legal ID here, if you will. We don't really have to do it, but just reset and tell everybody we're at Barbell East, 1129 Empire Boulevard. Sal Capaccio, Matt Bove, it's always game day in Buffalo. We are now over 2,000 live viewers on the stream at Sal Sports on YouTube. Also on X, you can find Matt at Matt_Bove there. Make sure you're taking care of your bartenders and servers, folks, while you're up there. Except that guy wearing all the Red Sox gear. No, I'm just kidding. You can take care of him, too.
Oh, is there a Red Sox fan there?
He's one of the bartenders I just saw is wearing a bunch of Red Sox gear. They just traded for Adley Rutschman today.
I'm a Red Sox fan.
No, come on. I'm a Yankee guy. What are we doing here?
I'm a Red Sox fan, actually. That's cool.
What are we doing here? Oh, see, I know. Right? He's about to kick me out of Barbell here while we do it.
Come check out Barbell East. We're right here. It is on, what is the name of the street?
Empire Boulevard.
Empire Boulevard. It is an awesome spot. We get a great crowd here. The food is phenomenal. You know, I look at the menu, but I don't really need to look at the menu. So if you're coming out to Barbell,
we're going to have wings later. So
yes, really absolutely. You know exactly what you're getting.
Really. Speaking of Rochester, I got a couple of questions about Rochester for you, but I'll just mix them in once in a while. I'll give you one right now. Right.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Here we go. A little trivia for Matt Bove. Ready? Matt, what is bigger in population, Rochester, New York, or Rochester, Minnesota?
Rochester, New York.
You are correct. Do you want to guess by about how many people, roughly?
My guess, are we talking about metro population?
I think so, yeah.
My guess is Rochester is just under a million. Is that right?
No, I'm talking about the city itself. City population, just the city itself.
Well, I think the Rochester city population is probably like 200-something thousand.
Yes, 206,000 in Rochester, New York, 120,000 in Rochester, Minnesota.
Pretty good.
There you go.
I got the Rochester metro population and the city population pretty spot on.
That's pretty darn good.
You know why I know? Because it's the TV market stuff. Because the TV market is based off the population, so you kind of can figure out how it all pieces together.
I'm guessing that is the city population. I got 206 for New York, 120 for Minnesota. We are out here in Rochester. They've been so good to us here at Bar Bill.
Yeah.
Talking Buffalo Bills and training camp. All right. Let's talk a little bit about the guys we haven't been able to see much of so far, and that is the defensive linemen, because there haven't been pads on yet, right? But we are expecting to see a little bit more of that. Maybe we can get a little more of an evaluation. Everybody's talking about Ed Oliver.
Yeah, did you see my clip with Michael Hoyt?
No, go right ahead.
All right, so I talked to Michael Hoyt over the weekend.
Oh, I did see that, yes.
Yeah, I talked to Michael Hoyt, and I was like, I know you're excited, but give me somebody to be excited about with Jim Leonard. And he said, listen, Greg Rousseau and Bradley Chubb will be great. But Ed Oliver is the name that everybody needs to circle. I did not ask about Ed Oliver. He naturally brought up Ed Oliver. So then I was like, hey, can you explain why? It's interesting because it goes back to Jim Leonard's comment about Ed Oliver, where they need to make offenses find him on the field. You know what I mean?
Yep.
They need to hide him a little bit from opposing offenses. So I asked Michael Hoyt, who is a delight, by the way, love talking to him, can you explain this to me in more elementary terms? And he said, when we had a base 4-3 defense, it was pretty much four guys on the defensive line all the time. And it was really hard for teams to double team Ed Oliver. He's like, now there's going to be plays where we have five guys on the line, three guys on the line. He's like, if we put five guys on the line, you're not doubling Ed Oliver. You simply cannot do it. And that will create a favorable matchup for him and potentially for someone else. So he's like, listen, we have more options that will benefit a player like Ed. So on just a very baseline level, you don't have to go super into the X's and O's. Ed Oliver seems to be the guy that a lot of people are excited about.
And as you go down that line, you have a couple guys coming off an injury. Dwayne Carter is one of them. Landon Jackson is another one of them. I walked up to the cafeteria with Landon Jackson. He is a monster now.
Yeah, he's big.
He's gained like 30 pounds. We know that.
Yeah.
He's immensely big. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe it. After last year, wasn't small, but he was a little leaner. And he was explaining to me a little bit about, you know, his different position, what he's responsible for, how that's going to change. I'm really interested to see how all that works.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that it feels like right now, if you were doing a hierarchy, right, for the defensive line, who would be your top guys? It would be Ed Oliver. And then after that, what is it? TJ Sanders and Deion Walker kind of in their own little bubble. Is there anybody that I'm forgetting? It's probably Ed Oliver, Deion Walker, TJ Sanders. And then I feel like there's a gap.
By the way, before I forget, Deion Walker did not practice today.
Deion Walker did not practice today.
He was working with trainers to the side.
He was working with trainers off to the side. So
it didn't look like much. He was still doing all the ladder work and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it was also off for practice the entire time. Like
Oliver, Deion Walker, TJ Sanders, Landon Jackson, and Dwayne Carter, and Zane Durant, by the way, who they really like.
Yeah, they do like Zane Durant. So after that, they've got some decisions to make. After those top three guys, we also need to see, like, hey, what is Dwayne Carter in this defense? What do you think he is? Is it more nose tackle, probably?
Yes.
Dwayne Carter?
I think he's more of what they call a nose tackle, or what you want to call a 3-4. They're not going to have a guy right over the center in this defense a lot.
No, so I think Dwayne Carter is an interesting name, but I do think he's somebody they like. But that said, like, I don't think he's a shoo-in. I think he has to earn a roster spot. A round three pick from 3 years ago is not guaranteed to make a roster, especially after coming off the injury that he had. After that, but this is going back up to the top tier. They need more from TJ Sanders this year. TJ Sanders was a little too inconsistent last year. Deion Walker flashed for sure. That's a good sign. You just heard what I said about Ed Oliver. The other names, though, I think that we need to pay attention to are Landon Jackson and Zane Durant. Don't sleep, though, on Fedarian Mathis, because it feels like they really like him. And whenever they need him,
I agree. He was the first free agent they signed, by the way.
He is always the guy that they lean into. Wasn't it last year that they used all of his practice squad call-ups and then just eventually signed him to the roster itself?
Yes, it was. Okay, If anybody has any questions that want to come up, we'll give you the mic. You can sit here.
Yeah.
You can, we'll put the camera on you. You can ask a question to us.
Let's go over before we get to the question portion.
Yes, but
the players. Yeah. And if anybody, like,
if they want to come up,
if you come up, we will make sure that you get yourself your question up camera. Give me the players you have been impressed by. You know, it's only 4 days. Pads have been on for half of a day. So it feels like, you know, we're getting ahead of our, but I do think this matters.
One of the top guys, Max Hairston.
Okay.
I really like what I've seen from Max Hairston, the first round pick of a year ago.
Okay.
People who thought that IGB got drafted to go play ahead of him. I never thought that was the case, but Max has to hold him off. Mm-hmm. Max has to stay healthy. I love what I've seen from Max Hairston. He looks, I mean, his change of direction is elite. Today made a great play on the very first 7-on-7 play in the red zone, knocking the ball away from Josh Palmer. I really like what I see Max Hairston. That's number one.
Okay, I am going to go obvious, and then we'll slowly work our way down to, I don't want to say more obscure, but a little bit more of the deep cuts. Mm-hmm. If I asked you right now, who's been the best player at training camp, who would you say? Because this is going to be my answer.
DJ Moore.
DJ Moore.
Yeah.
And I, once again, I think people are going to be excited about that, as they should be. DJ Moore, I think very clearly, is the second best wide receiver Josh Allen has played with. Well, not maybe total, but he's the best wide receiver Josh has played with since Stephon Diggs. He is very smooth. He's very, they can use him anywhere. Like, we have seen him run routes all over the field. It's a really good sign. He seems reliable. It seems like they're getting on the same page. So far, the early returns look really, really promising. I know they gave up a lot to get him. I know he's in his late 20s. I know they gave him another year on the contract. But so far, he looks really, really like a good fit in this offense.
I agree. His chemistry with Josh Allen has been awesome. Once again, if you have any questions, come on up. We'll take those questions, and we'll talk about the Buffalo Bills with you. You asked me if guys I'm impressed with. Another one, this guy's a rookie. I've been saying it. T.J. Parker, not that he's making a ton of plays. I'm just impressed with him as a athlete, as a player, what I've seen from him so far. I like what I've seen from T.J. Parker.
All right, we've got our first question here.
All right, grab the mic. That's yours. And you could tell everybody what's your name and where are you? Where do you live? Where are you coming from?
John from Buffalo.
John from Buffalo. Shout out. What part of Buffalo? Like downtown Buffalo, city Buffalo?
Town of Tonawanda.
Town of Tonawanda. Beautiful. Right. Very cool. Thank you for coming tonight.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Go ahead.
I know this is a bit of a reach, but being we have two real good cornerbacks, a good safety, what is the chance of seeing a variation of a Buddy Ryan defense, the 4-6?
The 46. Not called a 4-6. It's a 46 because it's named after somebody's jersey number 46. But I think you may know this. I don't know if anybody does. Jim Leonard is a disciple of Buddy Ryan.
Yeah.
And because Buddy Ryan and Rex Ryan, right?
Buddy, think about it. Rex.
Yeah, that's
Jim
right.
Leonard.
So
yeah,
therefore, there's the lineage. So to answer your question, I think you could see something like that. 46, the 46 defense was because, now his name escapes me, who played for the Bears. His jersey number, they would use him as a jack of all trades around, and that's why they called it. It wasn't a 4-6. But yes, I think we could see something like that. And it's because they do have flexibility on the back end with their linebackers and their defensive backs.
And
thank
here's
you very
the
much.
Other thing. We're right now at the phase, a little in the weeds here, but during training camp, because the practices are open to the public, anybody can have a cell phone. We can kind of report anything right now. When they go back to Buffalo and they're behind closed doors, there are some rules and regulations that we need to kind of adhere to. It's all a competitive advantage stuff. Yes. They've been throwing exotic stuff all over the because I think they're trying to figure out what they like. There's times when you've got three guys here, three safeties on the field, four safeties on. They're trying to figure out like who are their best 11 players. I think right now we probably know who like 9 or 10 of them are, but I think they're trying to figure out how to get a Jalen Kilgore on the field or how to get a Dorian Williams and a Caleb Ealamzor on the field. So I do think that we're going to see a lot of creativity from Jim Leonard. I also think Jim Leonard might only be here for a couple of years. I think he's probably a head coach. Everybody talks about him like he is just
Doug Plank. Doug Plank was it. It wasn't Gary Fensick, Menichi. It was Doug Plank. That's who the not Dave Duerson. Thank you very much, Doug Plank. A couple of people in the chat box said it. It was Doug Plank. Leslie Frazier was on that team, by the way.
Doug Plank is not a real person. We've got another one coming up here.
All right, we got the Delaware Fighting Blue Hens. Did you what's your name, first of all?
I'm Tim.
Tim,
why do you have a Delaware shirt on? I want to ask you.
My brother's going to be a senior this year.
Yeah, all right. Go where. Okay, who is the most famous NFL player to ever come out of Delaware?
Rich Gannon.
Who's that?
Rich Gannon.
Rich Gannon is definitely, he was MVP out of Delaware.
Did Joe Flacco go to Delaware?
Joe Flacco did. I'm going to give it to Rich Gannon, though. And here's a great trivia. Rich Gannon at Delaware, they ran the wing T. I'm a wing T guy. I love the wing T. They ran the wing T with Rich Gannon. He went to the NFL to become an NFL MVP.
That's actually what Tim was going to ask you about.
There you go. Go ahead, Tim. What's your question? Where are you from, by the way? Where do you live?
I'm from Fairport.
So okay, right, shout out Fairport.
20 minutes from here.
Yep.
I was going to say, with all the new coaching changes that we have, and we have a tough schedule to start the year, Chargers, yeah. Pats, Lions, Texans, and Rams, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you think they're going to start out? Okay. So much new stuff.
Yeah, good question.
Well, let's take a look at what the schedule holds to start. You know, yeah. You know the schedule by heart, I think, in the beginning, right?
Yeah, definitely. There you go. By heart. So I could tell you, I think I'll include the game after the ones you said as well. I'll think of it as kind of a six-game start because they have the bye week after that. I think right now anybody should sign up for 4-2. I really do, and I know some people might scoff at that and be like, this team is really good. They're favored in 14 of the 17 games that they play. Houston has been a house of horrors for them. I think Detroit is really, really good. And I think people sleep on Detroit just because of last year. I think they'll be better. Their defense stinks, but they can score 50 points a game. The Chargers, with Mike McDaniel as their new offensive coordinator and Justin Herbert, I mean, Mike McDaniel gets to go from Tua to Justin Herbert. That offense should be really electric. And defensively, last year they were great. They lost their defensive mastermind to Baltimore, who the Bills play after the bye week, but still, that's a tough game. And then you've got the Patriots, who I think, listen, for the Bills and the Patriots this year, I think they're really close. I think it's probably a coin flip. I think each team probably wins their home game. So right there, we're talking about four incredibly tough matchups. And then the team that I think is the best team in the NFL, the Los Angeles Rams. So I would say, I think probably, like some people might be mad, I think 3-3 is absolutely a possibility.
If you can go 4-2 in those first six.
If you can go 4-2,
I think that's a good start.
You
what
should
do you think?
Feel really good at 4-2. Yeah. What do you think?
I think 3 or 4 wins.
Yeah.
And they play the Ravens a couple weeks after that,
yeah,
too.
They
so
do.
It's a tough game, too.
That's a definitely sure. tough game. So for it's like sure. if you could be 4-2, I think you're in a really good spot. If you're 3-3, yeah. I think some people might feel like the sky is falling. But after that Ravens game, they have a little bit of a window where they could really go on a run. I also think just for the Bills, it's like, just get into the playoffs. Like, I know if you're the one seed, you have so much better of a chance, you know, a matchup or a path to the Super Bowl. Just get there. Yeah. I think to me, it's really just like, if Josh can get hot and this team can get hot, it really doesn't matter if you're the 2 or you're the 7. Like, that's just the way that I'm wired.
There you go.
Good question.
You got it. Thank you. Thanks for coming up. Don't forget, we got Fiddlehead IPA here as well. Matt, tell them one more time about the raffle.
Yeah, if you buy a Fiddlehead IPA, you're here at Bar Bill. You'll get a ticket. Use that ticket to go. Try and enter that super cool, what is it, a Labatt cooler over there? Yeah. The Fiddlehead? Where's the Fiddlehead one?
Oh, there's one over there. All right, we got it. There you go.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, there you go.
Who is going to the stadium on Saturday for the red and blue? Anybody? Anybody go to the stadium? All right, we got some people here.
Very cool.
All right, how excited are you to be in that stadium for an actual NFL event?
I will not
be there.
Bills
event.
What? I will not be there.
This guy, where are you going?
I have a wedding that night. I have a wedding that night.
You're already married. You're not getting married.
No,
yet, right?
I'm not getting married. Right. No. It's not my
Who's
wedding.
Who's getting married?
Shout out to Derek and Leah. They live in my neighborhood.
Okay.
But my brother-in-law is the best man in their wedding. So everybody, round of
applause. There you go. There
Derek
you go.
Listens to the podcast.
Yeah, now he's
so
now he's out here.
Yeah, so they've got their wedding on Saturday. And I was not conflicted because I really would love to be there. We'll be there a couple days later. They've got that preseason game the following week, the open practice a couple days after that. So it's going to be an amazing event. I think everybody who's going is going to have a great time. I also think, listen, if you can go at any point, you should because it is a beautiful building.
It is an amazing, amazing building, amazing stadium. It really is built for Buffalo. I've been to all but 3 NFL stadiums, and the only reason the 3 I didn't attend was because of the COVID year. We didn't travel on the radio side of things. And I will tell you, they're all different and unique in their own way. Some are amazing. I'll compare it to what I say about this, though. Like, SoFi Stadium is incredible, but it's an event space. Mm-hmm. It is not an NFL stadium. They're going to put pools in SoFi Stadium mm-hmm. for the Olympics.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's unbelievable,
it's crazy.
Right?
It's
but
insane.
This is an NFL stadium. It's built for football. It's built for Buffalo, so it's going to be really awesome. Now, the following week, first preseason game. Anybody going to that? First preseason game against Carolina? Okay, that's going to be cool. I don't know if I'll make it. If we're still in Cooperstown playing baseball, that's a good thing.
When does Cooperstown start?
I leave on Monday with my son's 12-year-old baseball team that I'm a coach of.
Yep.
We check into Cooperstown. I don't know if you've ever done it here. All-Star Village. There for a week. I got to stay in Army Barracks with 12-year-old boys for a week.
That sounds like quite the vacation. Just what you wanted to sign
right.
up for.
That's right. And if we keep going, then we're there on Saturday and I have a conflict. But guess what? Memories of a lifetime.
All right. More questions. Who's got questions?
I got a question for you while we get somebody up here.
While
you ready?
Somebody gets up here. Somebody else come up here.
Here we go. What year were the Rochester Red Wings founded? Ooh. Anybody want to give it a guess?
1926.
I mean, what's that? Old? That's right. They are older than that.
Okay.
You got a better guess? You're close. 1899. Oh. 1899 for the Rochester Red Wings.
Oh, no. Here. And our good friend Howard Simon was actually there covering that game.
Are they? I should know this. They're Nationals, right? They're the Nationals.
There's a Red Wings pennant right in front of us.
That's
there.
Right. They're the Nationals. All right. What year was the first year for the Rochester Americans? Yes, who said
1956,
that?
1956, obviously.
This guy knows his hockey in Rochester.
I wouldn't have. I mean, I would have been around there. I think I would have probably said like 1940. I don't know. But yeah, 1956. I would have definitely had that question. Somebody's waiting over there to come up. There's like somebody lurking.
I don't know if anybody wants to come up and say.
Anybody can say come they up give and a question.
We got,
question
there we go. We got somebody to Josh Allen's jersey. Right, she's going to come up. She's going to say something. Here we
Hello.
Go.
Hello.
Hey guys, big fan.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming.
Rush, New York.
Hi. All right. Cool.
My cousins went to Rush Henrietta.
All right.
And one of my cousins was the valedictorian of Rush Henrietta. All right. And I sit here and talk about sports for a living. So.
And my and I have
who's the disappointment?
I have a best friend out here. His kids go to Rush Henrietta. So there you go.
Nice.
Shout out to them. Go ahead.
So when Josh was early in his career, he wanted to really throw those long bombs and he struggled with his short pass game.
Yeah.
And it seemed like the last year or so, he really has honed in on the short passes. He could do those, but it doesn't feel like they're doing a lot of those long shots.
Yeah.
So do you see a return to the long shot coming?
Ooh,
I do.
Good question.
I do. And I'll tell you why. I think Joe Brady, the indications are he wants to be more aggressive on offense. He's not going to play the game. And I'm going to say this, and this is not a like something against Sean McDermott, but I think Sean said basically, look who the other team is. Let's not give them more opportunities. Let's make sure we don't, you know, take too many risks. I don't think Joe's going to care as much about that. I think you're going to see more of that, which is going to be more big plays, but maybe more of the negative plays as well that come along.
Yeah,
with.
And I also think you needed the personnel. They needed the players to make this work. DJ Moore, I think, is somebody who definitely can have success down the field. We saw that in Chicago especially. I also think we haven't really talked about Skylar Bell. I think Skylar Bell is going to be used sparingly, but I could see that being one of the things that they ask him to do. The name, it's not even close player-wise, but if Skylar Bell could have a similar impact that Gabe Davis had early in his career, I think they would be really, really happy. And that's something that they used Gabe for a lot, those shot plays down the field. So I don't really think it's going to be Keon just because he's not a great separator. It's not going to be Khalil Shakir because he's more of an underneath guy. But I do think that they have some options for that. And like Sal said, I think Joe Brady is going to be more aggressive.
And I think this is going to be a wild year on both sides of the ball for that. I think more aggressive on offense and more on defense. I think you're going to see more big plays on defense and more big plays given up on defense, which is going to be wild for everybody this year.
Yeah, great question.
I'd love to see them be more less risk averse than they were.
Yeah, well, see?
They used to think like, hey, let's not. It's one of the first things Bradley Chubb said when he got here. He was like, the MO on the Bills was that the offense would go win and the defense was don't go lose the game. Like, they need to be more aggressive on both sides of the ball, and I think they will be.
I agree.
Thanks, there's guys. Also going to be areas where they take steps back, but great question.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Everybody, a round of applause for the questions. I know that, you know, sometimes it's nerve-wracking. Anybody else have a question? We can keep rambling if we want to.
All right, so tomorrow, we're here tonight. We're doing this, and we want you to subscribe and download and all that kind of stuff. It's always Game Day in Buffalo. We want to also make sure you know that tomorrow, your chance to hear what Buffalo Bills and Buffalo Sabres president of business operations Pete Quelly had to say. We talked to him today for over an hour about a myriad of topics, including the new uniforms, the stadium, schedule, everything.
The new uniforms that I have been vocal, I'm not a huge fan of. I don't see any of the new uniforms here. I see a lot of the traditional jerseys. There was a lot of really interesting stuff. And I give Pete credit for sitting down with us because he did not shy away from any of the criticisms that maybe people have, whether that's about the jerseys. We asked him specifically about people getting priced out of the new stadium, the PSL process. But there was also a lot of really interesting nuggets. What we can expect inside the stadium maybe next summer, perhaps. Some jersey information in there. Some Sabres information in there. Some other NFL fun little tidbits in there. I think it's really, really informative. So if you're interested in that type of stuff, definitely check it out. Did you have a favorite tidbit? See, we want people to listen, so we don't want to tell you everything. But at the same time, we did learn things.
Maybe about future events at the stadium.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Right?
I think there's a really big event that happens in April every year that people love talking about. But Buffalo has a really strong chance.
But I thought his clues about like some things, just the imagination you could have after Wade tells us about the next year, next summer, and what it looks like, the imagination. I think that was pretty cool. Check that out. It's Always Game Day in Buffalo with Pete Quelly. Before we get out of here, real quick on special teams, somebody's asking us in the chat about Tyler Bass. I have not seen him kick yet at training camp. Mm-hmm. I think he was kicking in the backfield one day because I saw a picture when I went to upload a picture of the Getty images that we can use.
Yeah.
And I saw that. We did talk with him. Mm-hmm. He says he's feeling good. He's kicking.
Yeah.
So it seems like everything's on track, but we haven't seen anything yet.
No, I know. And I don't know if this is a Joe Brady thing. I think if he wants him to work off to the side or if he wants him to do something different. We were just talking about Mike McDaniel. Now he's on TV. That's weird. I'm not concerned yet. And here's the issue, though. We weren't really concerned last year until we were concerned. Tyler Bass kicked in the final preseason game last year. And then after that, it all hell broke loose. And then they signed Matt Prater 4 days later. So I think it's, okay, what are you going to do in the preseason? Yep. I think that's kind of where we're at with him. And like I mentioned a little bit earlier, I don't really think there's a punting competition, right? No,
Tommy Dolman's going to be the guy, right?
Tommy Dolman's going to be.
That's just based on circumstance more than anything.
I mean, that's literally, Scott, you asked the question as I was answering it. When they have drafted specialists, they have been in competitions, and they have won. That was with Tyler Bass. Who is his competition against? Hauschka?
Oh, when he first drafted?
Yeah,
was it Hauschka? Probably, right?
Matt Araiza. I don't remember who he beat. Who was the other punter that he beat?
They've had several. Corey Bohorquez?
Maybe.
Was he here at that time?
Maybe. He might have already left. And then,
Matt Hawk?
Yeah, that might be here? Who it is. And that's then right. Doman. So I think it's going to be Doman.
All right. Listen, this has been fun here today. We have
we got another
2,600. Oh, you want to come up? Yeah. Come on up. Sorry, we're going to end it, but we got another question. We'll do this.
This is how it usually happens.
Yeah.
Okay. I got two questions. One's going to be a trivia question, but one's going to be about the Bills.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
How long do you think Jim Leonard will be a coach before he gets offered a head coach possibly?
Tell me what the Bills' end-of-season result is, and I can tell you that answer. If Jim Leonard and the Bills win the Super Bowl, he's probably getting a job.
I think 2 years. I think 2 years is my bet because I don't think the defense is, like, supremely talented. But I think they'll make strides because of Jim Leonard. And then I think next year, as they add a little bit more talent and as they get kind of more on the same page, he's probably going to – everybody you talk to seems to get the sense that, like, hey, this guy knows what he's talking about. The thing that they all say is that he has a great way of explaining not what they need to do but why they need to do it. Like, hey, this is what we're doing here, and these are the reasons why. And I think all of those guys kind of appreciate their transparency. And not just like assuming that they know what he's talking about.
And the second one is going to be a trivia question about the Rochester Red Wings.
Okay.
Where do the Rochester Red Wings get their name from? And the clue is the picture behind you.
The picture behind us? I can't see the pictures.
There's a pennant. There's spikes. A flag.
Oh, the right
flag.
Spikes. The mascot.
Oh, something. I don't know. This is a good question. I don't know much about the origin story of the Rochester Red Wings, to be quite honest with you, but.
I'm looking at it, and I don't really know. I mean, it kind of looks – I don't know.
Looks like a chicken wing, like he's got chicken wings or something.
So the mistake everybody makes is they were affiliated with the Baltimore Orioles for years and the Birds. St. Louis Cardinals. Spike is a Cardinal.
Oh, wow.
Oh, interesting. Thank you. Very good. Thank you so much. I learned something.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. I always like when we learn things. We're always educating
people here.
Always Game Day in Buffalo and Rochester. So shout out. Now I know. I did not know that.
P's 79. When are they wearing the new uniforms? Ooh, we do not know, but
we got a hint.
We're going to find out soon, and the Bills are going to release a uniform schedule, like where they'll tell you some of these things. They are going to wear them twice.
Yeah,
we know that.
I feel pretty confident in telling you it's not the first game, and that's all I'll tell you because I think that it's pretty soon after that.
And if you want red helmets,
put the pieces together. That's Christmas red helmets. Christmas.
Were we supposed to say that already?
I reported it a week
that's
ago.
Good. You got it. Yeah. And he confirmed that today.
Yeah.
Man, I'm like, man, Pete Quelly did.
Thanks for following along.
I know. Yeah. I didn't know you did that.
Yeah.
Pete Quelly did confirm today, red helmets, in our interview with him on Christmas. That's an away game at Denver.
Yes. And I think that it could be red helmets with a white jersey, which would be beautiful.
Yes.
If you were somebody who's like, why are they wearing the red helmets away from Buffalo? That's stupid. I would say they're going to be in a massive television audience window on Netflix and then on one of the local stations in Buffalo. So they want to look their best for the Christmas holiday. And also, like, Christmas, red, green, put the red helmet on. That makes a lot of sense.
We want to thank Mike Robbie, our producer, for doing a great job. We want to thank Stephanie Dolsky from Odyssey for being here and walking around and helping everybody out. We want to thank Bar Bill and their great staff. Thank you very much.
Yeah, let's give one more look, Mike.
All right, we're going to look around here.
Shout out everybody who's here. Thank you guys so much.
And all of you for coming out tonight to our annual trip to Bar Bill East in Rochester here on Empire Boulevard. Don't forget to follow along at Sal Sports, at Matt_Bove. All of you in the chat box watching, 2,600 plus live viewers here tonight. Thank you so much once again. Matt and I are going to be sticking around, order some wings, having a good time. You have a good time too. Thank you again. Good night, everybody.